Friday for you, and we're here to talk about things that we know nothing about, and take pictures of birds, apparently. I'm Chris, Jazz Sequence on the Internet, that's Gary, who's Binary Gary on the Internet, and that's Allison, who's Allison Plus on the Internet, and this is a podcast, or a video hangout, if you are watching on YouTube. Which, judging by the stats, probably you're not. But you can, if you want to see our faces and, like, get any visual references that might come through the audio, which happens sometimes.
Yeah, every once in a while I forget this is an audio podcast and say, and, like, gesture with my hands and stuff. And
or, like, we're looking at something.
Then describes it. Yeah.
You're like, see this?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's been a week.
It's been a fucking week.
Yeah. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm okay. Saturday was really, really, really hard. No, Friday was hard. Friday was really, 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 really hard. Saturday was hard, but less hard. And, yeah, it's better, I guess. Friday was really hard. It's really hard to. So, for those of you who aren't in our Slack channel, I lost my cat on Friday. A cat that's been with us for 18 years, and has been, you know, elderly for a while. She started slowing down in her movements a couple years ago. It seemed like she was maybe having some, like, issues with her paw. We thought maybe she had, like, cat arthritis or something. I don't know why we have to put cat in front of, like, diseases that we know, like cat arthritis. It's the same arthritis. It's just it's just in a cat. So, but we thought maybe she did. And she had always seemed to have poor eyesight, even when she was younger. But that seemed to get a lot worse, so it made it harder for her to, like, she knew the layout of the house, so that was not a problem. She knew how to get place from place to place, but she wouldn't necessarily know who was in the room always, and that was a thing. And then she also started just, like, slowly eating less and less. This is a cat that used to be obese because when she was a kitten, she had a sort of a nervous, like, fabric eating complex, which I learned much, much later when I became a parent that that's actually a thing that kids do. They, like, bite their shirts, yeah. And then they make huge freaking holes in their shirts. And that's what she did with blankets, except I didn't recognize it as being a anxiety thing. I recognized it as being, like, bad kitty. So, she did that for a long time, and then eventually we moved out of the apartment, and we put her in, like, a kennel at night so she wouldn't eat her blankets while we were sleeping. And then eventually it seemed like she was not doing that anymore, and we started leaving the food out all the time, and she switched from eating the fabric all the time to eating food all the time. So she had, like, an eating disorder, which we figured was better. But it did mean she was very large. So in her later years, she started eating much, much, much less and getting very, very, very skinny. So it didn't strike us as odd when she, like, in the last couple of days, was eating very little. And it turned out that she had some sort of, like, infection in her mouth. and like maybe on her chin. And the last day was like excruciating to watch, because she was in so much discomfort, and she was, and I think she was hungry too, like, but she couldn't do anything about it because it hurt so much. It was all of a sudden, like it seems with cats in our experience, it stuff like this comes on, like you don't really see it coming and then it's there right in front of you. And, that's how it was with her. The night before, she seemed okay. Like, she seemed old. We thought maybe she'd be going in the next couple of days or the next week or something, like soon, but we didn't see it coming the next day. And the next day we woke up and it was bad. I made an appointment for that day, and we just, like, tried to give her as much comfort as we could while we could before said appointment, and then she was gone, and it was really, really hard.
Have you been going to the same vet for a while?
We have, well, there's a vet that's like literally down the street. And when it's something like this and we don't want to like drive to a vet, that's where we go. So typically that's where we go for this situation or other emergency situations. If they're, I mean, assuming they're open, if we need to get there quick, if it's, and because the cats all uniformly pretty much hate the car. If we did find a cat that we a vet that we like a lot better, that's farther away. So that's where we go when like we need a checkup or something that isn't like time sensitive or something like that. We could have probably walked there had Aaron been walking and had we wanted to, you know, do that with a cat that's very old and sick and not doing well, which obviously we didn't. So like that particular vet is basically associated with death because of how we have used them in the past. So to answer your question, yes, but we didn't go there. Yeah, so that's my charity contribution. 18 years though. I mean, that's a long time. She's an elderly cat.
That's where Max is too, her around 18.
Like, I mean, Erin didn't believe me. She always like thought she was younger than she was, and I actually pulled out her adoption papers a couple days ago and like was like, see? She's 18 years old.
Proof. Yeah.
We got her in 2002, not long after we got married. In fact, we might have even had her before actually getting married, and we're just like fostering her or something, because we had her for a bit and then we took her back, and then she was adopted by someone who then gave her back because she ate her blankets, and so we took her home.
You're like, yeah, we know. That's should we disclose that?
You don't put that on the little adoption sheet though. You don't say like, and by the way, eats blankets.
Do you not?
Not usually. Not at the humans. Not when you're trying to get them adopted. I mean, if it was like a rescue, you might disclose that sort of stuff. But the Humane Society is basically like trying to keep their capacity down so they don't have to put cats to sleep. And something like that would mean the cat doesn't get adopted, and if it's there for 2 months and they need capacity, she's getting put down.
But if you're going to the Humane Society and you have in mind you're going to adopt an animal, and they all have like eats blankets, like snores loudly, like all have like a negative attribute, like you're still leaving with a cat. You're still leaving with a cat with the least negative attribute, aren't you?
Yeah, but they don't all have that. They don't all have negative attributes.
They're not all endearing.
Yeah, or they're not all endearing.
Like cat snores, like that's not that rough. I don't know. I say this as someone who's allergic to cats, so.
I don't particularly care for cats generally, but I like Max. He's fine.
The sad part is I really love cats. I just want to rub them on my face, and then it doesn't doesn't work out well for me.
That seems like a really bad strategy.
Yeah.
Is
that a lizard on top of that bird feeder?
I'm usually okay if I just don't, like, if I'm in a room with cats and I just don't touch them, I can get by.
That's sad.
But it's really hard. And also cats can sense that they almost love you more when you're trying to avoid them.
I mean, you're basically speaking to them on in their terms. That's,
I know. I'm like, oh, this is your love language. It's like,
yeah. 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 So the story of Kendra, and I wrote a big long blog post about this, but the story about Kendra is that because she was doing things that I had perceived at the time as like bad cat, like bad kitty sort of things, like not like empathizing, but just seeing it as a behavior. I was not nice about when she was eating blankets. Like, I would stomp on the ground and scare her, and that led to her being afraid of me for a long, long time. Long after, like, even just, yeah, for a long time, like, I would walk into the room and she'd sort of skitter out. And then slowly, over time, she became indifferent to me. And then eventually, and particularly when we had cats that were not nice to her, which was most of our later cats. And when we got the dog, which she didn't like the dog at all, she became like, she was looking for shelter more, basically. And that's, and looking for comfort. And slowly she started warming up to me, to the point that after we moved, like when she went to look for a lap to sit on, when we were watching TV, it was always my lap. It was never Aaron's lap. It was always my lap. And yeah, so like I always sort of saw that as her, you know, forgiving me for being an asshole when she was younger. And like, I don't know that I can forgive myself for being an asshole when she was younger. Like, thinking about it now, like what she was like, that's an anxiety thing. That's how she was coping. And I'm just, and I'm being an asshole about it. But she could forgive me. And that, like, I don't know, like it's, it made, that makes, you know, the whole thing harder, but have lots of, if it, have that memory and have lots of other, you know, good stories and to tell.
If it's helpful, the extent of cat forgiveness is, I guess you're fine. Like it's whatever.
I think it's more than that. I think that
it probably is, but I,
yeah,
it sure, it probably is. There is a real acceptance there, but I could think, like, my cat, who would be like,
like she'd be up on our bed, like 7:30 in the morning, in my face, licking my beard and meowing, saying it's time for breakfast. Come get me food now. She doesn't do that to anyone else.
Wake up, sucker!
I was.
Well, I'm glad you had almost 2 decades with her.
Yeah,
She's awesome.
I mean, she was around from like the beginnings of us being, you know, committed to each other, I guess. I mean, we were together before that, but like, I mean, she's been around as long as we've been married. She's been around longer than the kids have been alive.
I think pet psychology is so interesting because I'm always so curious for these pets that like spend so many years with us, like if they recognize the events that are huge to us, but like what they think of them, like if they're even like blips on their general life radar of like, oh, well, this is when they moved in, and this is when, like, this is when things, and then there was this new baby came, and, like, mm-hmm. I just don't know how they register things, or if they're just like, oh, new kid on the scene, great, like.
It definitely a thing. Moving into this house from our old house was definitely a thing that the cats, I mean, we had Luna and Kendra at that point, and no dog moving into this house, so, like, that whole thing, I think, and also the jerk cat we got rid of before moving because he peed everywhere and he didn't want to pee in the new house and he was a jerk. So like we sort of like did a lot of shifting of animals and places, and that made a big difference. I think that was really impactful in there, like a big event for them and a big event for us because it's buying a house. I think that we had one cat before the kids were born named Kendra. No, that was the one I'm talking about, named Radar, who was this kind of wacky Siamese mix, And I'm like, doing this because she had this yellow stripe on her nose. that's what that is.
That's a weird tick all of a sudden.
Yeah.
For those of you joining us by audio only, Chris is rubbing his face.
I was rubbing my nose where she had the yellow stripe. And I don't know why I did that. It was weird. Anyway, she was sort of wacky in the shelter. She was really sort of aggressive in the shelter. But Aaron knew that when she took her out and like, dealt with her individually, she warmed up and was, and she also knew that this was a beautiful cat that was going to get put to sleep because she was not okay in the shelter environment. So we took her home and we had her for a long time, but she was always a little bit kind of wacky. She once got a hold of a muffin and like nearly bit Aaron's hand off trying to grab it out of her mouth. Like she bit hard. So when we had Gavin, she kind of went nuts a little bit. Like, was just, like, freaking out about the new baby. And so when another one was coming along, before Lila was born, we released her. I believe we gave her back to the Humane Society because we did not want her to just get aggressive with the kids because she bit us hard, like... The kids do something that she doesn't like, and she was already kind of on edge. She could attack them and do serious damage. So, like, I think it definitely, like, there are things that definitely are impactful for animals. It's maybe not the same things. Like, they're not going to recognize birthdays, but like, they definitely notice and pay attention to new changes. It's not like, yeah, there's a kid here. Like, no, they're seeing the differences. I have no idea what they thought when we brought a dog home. Like, like, what the hell is this thing?
My sister-in-law has a dog that previously had a cat with him, a black cat. And so whenever they go on walks, like, whenever he sees a black cat, like, he just wants to go see it to see if it's his old cat.
He's a
sweet dog.
That's sad, but also, like, if you sort of, like, personify that and, like, put narrator voices or, like, overdubbing on it, it's like, wait, is that Tony? Is that Tony? Tony! 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 Is that you?
I've seen people act like that in public.
that's pretty much how he rolls.
I may or may not have been that person on occasion. That person has a baseball cap on. So does Tony.
Successfully managed to get water up my nose.
So, do we want a topic today, or?
Let's topic.
Okay.
Okay. The topic this week is termagant.
Termagant.
Also, like, I'm reading a lot lately, so all my words are from books I'm reading.
Can you spell it?
It's termagant.
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 Termagant. Termagant.
Yeah, it's I get advertisements for this all the time. It's a treatment system for termites.
Uh-huh. It actually works for termites or ants. It does both. Termagant. okay. Well, as we often do, we can break the word down.
Yes. So
we have term, which generally indicates the ending of a thing.
Yep.
And then gant, obviously.
Well, no. Term is a length of a thing. Like, a term of school.
Yes.
Is a measure, like a, but a, but so a term innate would be the end of a thing. So we could have a termagantinator. That would be the end of a termagant. I'm sorry, and what did you say a gant is?
It's a gant. You know, a gant.
No, I don't. That's why I'm asking.
It's like a gant chart. It's a gant. to it's a thing that you chart on a Gantt chart.
Every once in a while, our Project Manager is like, do we want to look at the Gantt chart? And I'm like, no. Like, never. There's never a time I'll say yes to that question. I'm never like, woohoo, a Gantt chart.
I love that. I will never say yes to that question.
Like, I mean, I get it. It's useful. Just tell me what's in the next sprint. Or, like, we can talk about what's in the next sprint. I don't need a Gantt chart. It's especially if it's beyond the next, like, month or two. Like, yeah, that's cool.
But if your household really had a Gantt chart all of a sudden,
ugh.
Would that make your life better or worse?
I don't know. I don't know that I can even articulate what a Gantt chart is other than that I have seen them. So, Gary, since you seem to have more
visceral recent, reaction to
a visceral reaction, why don't you share what a Gantt chart is for the rest of us?
I have
and
no idea.
Listening.
I think it stands for something. But effectively, it is you take a project or projects and break them over a period, equal periods of time. And then there's like a burn down of what will happen in each section of this term, Gantt. And it's generally, at least as in my familiar with it, is broken down by these, you know, similar tasks across each, we would call them sprints, but effectively each unit of work, you know, so... In this next 3-week thing, we have here's development time, and here's QA time, and here's strategy time for the next term of Gantt and whatnot.
Is it actually based on
in like, reality? No, it's web development.
Well, yes. What I was gonna say is it actually based on like stuff that's in the backlog? Like, do you put stuff?
No. So the Gantt chart is separate from the actual tasks. It is like here is when and what will be happen. Like when. These things will be happening as far as what the task to fill that time is, you know, sprint planning. This is why I think it's like arbitrary, like, great. So this next sprint, you'll be working on project X because that's where we want to allocate a percentage of time. Well, that would be fine. Assuming that project X had, you know, the right kind of work for me, actually had an idea what they're going to do, you know, budget, nothing else explodes on any of the other projects. Like it's a very idealistic view of the world. It's not reality. It's also extremely verbose. And it's like 3 months out, well, would it be better to make deployment on a Wednesday evening or a Thursday evening? Who the hell knows? That's 3 months out. Like, you know, maybe we can talk about that, you know, when it's within a month, we can. And I get it. Enterprise clients need calendars and whatever, but. My input on that deployment is completely useless 3 months out.
I don't think that we use Gantt charts.
Somebody uses a Gantt chart and they really like it.
Even with our enterprise clients.
Somebody at your organization uses a Gantt chart and they really like it. There are people that like Gantt charts. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying they're bad people.
I love that you say that as like, look, I don't mean to be divisive, but there are people out there and they like Gantt charts.
So
I'm not even going to put them in like a... it's just the way they view the world, and that's fine. It's the lens that they need to digest reality. And I'm
like, use taxonomies. Other people use Gantt charts.
Apparently, that's it. Yep.
So yep. In the taxonomy,
in the taxonification of the world, Gantt charts world. Are in the category of bullshit.
Gantt chart users
right?
are yes. over here.
No, I mean I like there's. I think there are ways to apply them that make them useful. I feel like my experience with them in web development is like. You know, hey, let's imagine if everything went perfectly.
Right.
Okay, well, let me stop you right there. Let's not go any further. This meeting's a waste of time.
So to bring this back around, we have a term, which is a length of a thing, and a Gantt, which is obviously relating to a chart of some a particular kind of chart. So a term, a Gantt, is the length of time that is charted on a Gantt chart. It's a term, a Gantt. You have the Gantt chart.
I'm laughing about the idea that
you have the Gantt chart, and this, and then within the Gantt chart is the term of Gantt. It's the
I have
length of time
so
that we're observing.
As so to portray myself as like anti-Gantt enthusiasts.
You're one of those anti-Gantters. I've heard about you.
Also, and in reality, I'm more like, I mean, it just seems like another meeting that would be.
good to know where you stand.
Have you all been watching Drunk History? Or I guess it's off the air now, but did you watch Drunk History when it was available?
I've seen a couple.
I wasn't. It's okay. I usually watch them on YouTube when it has people that I'm interested in watching be drunk, or I guess interested in portray drunk people.
So there was the YouTube series, and then it became the Comedy Central series.
Oh, I haven't seen the Comedy Central one.
Comedy Central is a bit more produced because, well, Comedy Central. And they basically get celebrities to get, you know, drunk and narrate history, and then other people reenact it. And it is, I've learned a lot and enjoyed it along the way.
The funny thing about it is I always assume that that the stories, the historic stories these people tell, they tell because they're stories that they know really well. But I don't think that's necessarily true. I think a lot of times they kind of sort of know the story. So being drunk and telling a story they kind of sort of know becomes even like more left field.
Because then they're like, and then it was like one if by land, two if by boat, two if by horse, three if by train.
I think that's accurate. I think that there are some liberties taken, which is also fine.
I'm here for a good game of telephone history if people learn things.
I came down here because my neighbors were having trees removed, or tree, I guess, singular? I don't know. Having some yard work done, and it was loud, and now it's been quiet. I haven't heard. Maybe it's because of my headphones. Are you all hearing chainsaws and such?
No. Not chainsaws.
No. Termagants. Back to the subject at hand. I'm gonna take a field trip.
I'm hearing occasional rustling that sounds like maybe a rattlesnake, but I think it's just what it sounds like.
No, it's most likely not a rattlesnake. It's probably all the trucks are still there. It's most likely
like a cicada.
Yeah, or cicada? Just like a squirrel overhead running around in tree branch.
I was gonna say, don't they make that
I hope you're never outside my house making that
sound. Isn't that the sound cicadas make? I mean, I always hear it on anime. I know it's something makes.
It sounds like a slowed down version of the psycho, like ring ring.
That's the sound.
I'm sorry. My sister.
We're not
town,
nearly
so.
Exciting enough. I get it.
Yeah,
Garrett.
I know. Yeah.
No, my sister's sure. In town, so I stayed up a little bit late last night catching up. And,
is this her first time visiting the new place?
Oh yes. Yes, this is our second visitor. Our second visitors. My parents came, and now she is here with my nephew, who is freaking adorable.
She lives in Florida. So she drove up from Florida.
She is. She is from Jacksonville. Yep.
Well, it's good that they're not, your family isn't afraid to hop in the car and go for a drive.
Yeah, so this initially came from, this was supposed to be the RNC weekend in Jacksonville.
Yeah, right, like, and so she was getting the shit out of Dodge.
But now it's actually happening 30 minutes from me in Charlotte.
Yeah.
She didn't know she'd be getting closer.
Yeah, although... Honestly, like, we're far enough away that it's...
Yeah, you probably don't see it.
No, we're far enough out in the hills that we're 15 minutes past the NASCAR track, so no one wants to come out here. We're way out.
Yeah, and everyone, as you know, like the NASCAR track, you put as far away from human beings as possible.
Well, you put it's
farther
like the airport,
than
you
the
put
NASCAR
it...
track, then that's basically nowhere.
Right, past the human beings.
Yeah.
What? It's like the airport, right? You don't want to put it in the middle of town.
Yes.
You put it at the edge of town.
Unless you're Las Vegas.
Well, except
I mean, they have a racetrack. It's not in the middle of town. It's right as you basically enter town.
Yeah, I feel like that's the airport too, though.
From
the airport's the other end. But yeah, yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. But I mean, out there, like
from the north. Trying to think of what direction
from north we enter, to it from
we
south.
Enter Vegas from when we're driving through Vegas and we're entering from the north because they're south of us.
You gotta sneak up on it.
Yeah. It's true. If you don't sneak up on Las Vegas, you'll get caught by, you'll get slammed in the face by a billboard about personal injury lawyers.
Or Penn and Teller.
I was thinking the little flyers they hand out on the Strip.
I don't go to the Strip.
I used to have to.
That's probably why.
Yeah, I used to have to be there for trade shows. And so, like, you know, stay at a hotel and then walk to wherever the trade show was happening.
Even if we're in Vegas and the kids are sleeping. Even if we're in Vegas and the kids are sleeping, and so we're looking for a dispensary, if it says dispensary on the Strip, it's not the one I'm going to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fine place to have visited in my life. I don't have any desire to go back. There's a bunch of weird people there.
Yeah.
The people watching is...
A bunch of weird people that really like living in Las Vegas. Like, the people who live there really like living there.
Yeah. I haven't been there in a while, but
I think you have to.
Well, I don't think, you don't live there on accident.
Yeah. I mean, I had a friend, Allison, you and I both know this person, because it's Joelle. She lived in Vegas for a while, and she hated it, like hated it, and then moved back to San Diego because she was not one of those Vegas people who likes living in Vegas, which everyone in Vegas is there because, you're not there by accident.
Well, and I mean, in comparison to San Diego, come on.
I mean, yeah.
That's a really good point.
So we've reached the time when we get a answer to what is the termagant, and whether
it's
or not,
a math term,
whether like a Terminator.
What kind of books do you think I'm reading?
I don't know. You told us earlier that you're reading a book about that had like a whole chapter about the rings of trees. Oh, so that's pretty fair game, I think.
That's a really great book, though. I do recommend it to anyone. Braiding Sweetgrass. It's a very good book. It is dense, though. It's like there's a lot of information in there. But termagant is a harsh-tempered or overbearing woman. And in the Middle Ages, it was used to describe the god that the Christians, the European Christians, thought that Muslims worshipped, because they didn't have any idea what was going on, clearly.
Wait.
They weren't going to stop and ask somebody.
What if they haven't started yet?
Yeah, in modern English, it means basically like a shrew, someone who's overbearing and quarrelsome.
But your initial definition definitely indicated that it's a overbearing woman.
Yes, yeah.
So did those Christians think the Muslims worshipped an overbearing woman?
Yes.
In what I found, it just said like general god. So I don't know.
Non-gender specific.
Non-gender.
I find it interesting that like that's where the meaning comes from, and then you apply it to something else, and like, are you gendering the thing that you're applying it to now if it doesn't have a gender already? Like, that's
it's a leap.
Yeah,
someone made a leap. But there also might be like actual texts that leap was made, and I don't know about them. That's possible.
I won't apply knowledge I don't have here, but I will posit that maybe that European Christians did believe that Muslims were worshiping a woman god, because there is this concept that wisdom was a female gender, and so like the opposite of like being in control, right? The Christian masculine idea of God would be like worshiping wisdom and discovery, and so I think that it may be a applied in a spiteful way. Imagine that, if you will, if you can stretch that far.
Those goddess worshippers.
Oh.
But yeah, I'm glad that word's not in either of your vocabulary.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good word not to have. Yeah.
That would have been great. Like, I know what this is.
Like, I call people this all the time.
I work with several termagants. What? Oh. Yeah. Do we have questions?
We don't have questions.
Probably not.
Okay.
But if you are a listener, thank you.
To our termagant listeners.
Second, you can always ask us a question on the website, binaryjazz.us. It's got a contact form somewhere and a contact page. And you can also just catch us on Twitter, at binaryjazz. And we want to hear your questions because it gives us something to do with the last 10 minutes of the show.
I think it gives us something to go out on.
Yeah, and I clearly gave up on coming up with those questions. I ran out.
Questions. Gary has questions sometimes.
Yeah, I have questions a lot of the time, although whether they're useful or appropriate for the show is a question in and of itself. I have been thinking a lot lately about running again. I think we talked about this.
You mentioned that before, even though you hate running. Talk us through that.
Yeah, and so there's some logic behind this. I think one of the things I mentioned is there's just so much to see around here, tree-wise, that is new to me. And so the novelty is not worn off. And I take a half-hour walk with the kids, and it's not enough. I think
you
the other part
is... You need to run
is,
so you can go farther and see more things.
That's it. Yes, yep.
How about a bike?
Yeah,
I'm
feel like I would...
biking.
More likely to kill myself on a bike.
Oh, okay.
With the hills around here. Whereas...
Oh, you mean like with exhaustion?
Like trails, yeah.
Not like literally like you're going to fall and die.
Oh, no, that's what I mean. I mean like coming down a hill and like not being able to stop before a stop sign and rolling into... I was gonna
also,
say,
I guess...
But honestly, like it's not... Rush hour here is 5 cars.
If the goal is to see like more things, then like cycling might be a different focus. Like you're not necessarily being like... I don't know. Maybe I'm
know.
Not. But...
I would argue that cycling can be that if you're not like all about like rushing or like doing crazy tricks or whatever. Like I see mountain bikers go like up and down the mountains, and it seems like what's the point? Because they're not paying attention to anything. They're like looking at like what, and you have to if you're mountain biking because there's so many things that could trip you up and make you fall. But
it's like look out for that root. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But if you're biking on streets, then you know, or paved areas, or even like a trail that's fairly well, you know, maintained, then seems like you can look around while you're biking. And I feel like, for me anyway, if I was running, I would be so focused on how horrible I feel that I would not be able to appreciate any of the things around me.
There's that part does concern me, I will be honest. However, I do remember when I ran that there were times when I had... like moments I want to recapture where, like, I remember the park across the street from where we lived in Jacksonville. And when I was training for something, which I don't have any time, I don't have any intention to train for anything. I think I'm going to take some of that pressure off. I'm just going to run for the sake of running. But I remember there were times like where, like, I don't know, like the chemicals, my brain was like blasting through my body at times, just clicked. And it was that right point where suddenly it was just like, I felt, you know, momentarily invincible and like flying and just totally in awe of everything around me. Fantastic. I'm not sure if it's worth the suckiness of the running to get there. I guess we'll find out. But I also know that like my like the food I craved ended up being a lot more like I wanted, like I somehow my body innately knew like what was in season and what was fresh, and like that's what I desired. That's how I wanted to like refill the stuff that I'd used. It was, I don't know, I feel like I was a lot more connected to the earth. And I want to feel that around here. Like I have a desire to feel that around here, and running seems to be the way that I can feel that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I will get these shoes in the mail tomorrow and be like, oh no, those will be good for
a
while.
I've made a horrible mistake.
Yeah, it's entirely possible, and I'm willing to find out. Yeah.
But I mean, running, even if you like running, I think running kind of sucks in the beginning, and then... you move on,
yeah,
and kind of get those endorphins or whatever, all the science.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz.
Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the forum on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.